the Jewish trial of Jesus, and they, of course, could not get him into. They couldn't kill him because they have no right. So now we have them coming toward to the civil authorities, namely to Pilate. Let's pray. Lord, we give ourselves over to the study of the Word. Not what a man says, but what the Word says. And we ask you to help us to see it, to be guided by it, to be convicted by it, and to be satisfied with it. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. As the people approached, as these Jewish leaders, and these are the Jewish leaders, if we aren't careful, we'll think of them as some crowd out in the streets somewhere. No, it's not a crowd. It's the Jewish leaders who are bringing this case to Pilate to get Jesus killed. So we come, first of all, to the accusation. Verse 28 to 32. And the priests are bringing him, and the priests have scruples. You know what scruples are? Things that I do because I want to please myself. I want to feel good about myself, and so these have certain scruples that I want to get done, things I want to do. They also have sarcasm and schemes here, as we'll see. Now, first of all, their scruples, verse 28, they have spiritual bondage. Your scruples can bring you into bondage, you know. They led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early in the morning, and they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled. Here are their scruples. They didn't want to go in there and be defiled ceremonially. Caiaphas, in the sense that he was the head of the Sanhedrin, had passed sentence on Jesus for blasphemy. He's already said that. But then John leaves out much of what transpired here. He wasn't trying to give the whole story. None of the Gospels give the entire story. And he leaves some things out. Matthew, Mark, and Luke had already written their Gospels, and it was there. And they had found false witnesses. False witnesses had already come. And they could not pass the death sentence without the Roman government. They couldn't kill people. So whatever they did, they had to do through Rome. Well, so the Jews settled then for, not for he's king of the Jews and all that, but sedition. He's against Rome. And this gives, he's a threat to Rome, and that will be a very serious thing. That will get Pilate's attention. So they go to the Praetorium, which was the governor's headquarters, and therefore it was Gentile area. Can't go in there. You get sin on you. So they're about to kill an innocent man. Understand this. Here are the people. They're saying, we don't want to defile ourselves. All we want to do is kill somebody who's innocent, even. Yeah. So this is the way things work. It's the way legalism works. They're going in there to keep away from the pollution. We'll stand out here. We won't go into the building. We'll stand outside, and maybe he'll come out here to us. And that's what happened. And then he says, no, we'll do that, but we're going to kill him. It's so crazy. But then that's the way scruples work sometimes. Jesus said this, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of the mint and the anise and the cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, like justice and mercy and faith. lest these you should have done, and not leave the others undone either. In other words, he's saying, you know, they used to grow herbs for their food, for whatever. And they would have them all lined up, and then before they used any that were on there in those little pots, they would say, now, wait a minute, 10% of this belongs to the Lord. That 10%, however they got it to them, maybe to the Levites for their food or whatever, they'd give that to the Lord. They were very scrupulous about that. So he says, you pay tithes for that, but you've neglected the weightier things. Justice is there in the law too. Mercy, faith. Isn't that strange? That's what they were doing. And he said, you all have done these things. You should have done them, and don't forget the other things too. So you say, well, if you mean those things are not as important as worshiping the Lord, Sunday morning service, I'll do that, and then I'll forget those other things. No, do it all. But Jesus said these scribes and Pharisees were like that. They were hypocrites. So they were in spiritual bondage, which didn't please God. They were in spiritual blindness too, the last part of verse 28, but that they might eat the Passover. They were blind to the fact that, what's the Passover about? The Passover is they're going to kill the one who about whom the Passover was given. The Passover way back in way back. I'll just stop for a minute. I can go on without it. The Passover, remember that back in Egypt? The 10th plague was killing of the firstborn. And God, everyone in Egypt, including where the Israelites lived, the firstborn was going to die. And the only way they could escape that was to kill a Passover lamb. And the lamb killed and the blood put on the doorsteps, remember that? The doorposts. Then when they did that, then the death angel would pass over them. And that picture, the lamb that they killed for the blood, that was a picture of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. So they, for every year, for 1,500 years back, they had been saying, oh, the Lamb of God is coming. Here he comes. It predicted him. And at least 100 other passages in Scripture said, Messiah is coming. The Lamb of God is coming. And so they could have known, and they should have known. They should have recognized him. And I think they did, at least some of them. So now, here he is. Oh, the lamb is finally here. Let's kill him. No. That's how mixed up they were. So those scruples didn't help any. But then there's a sarcasm of the priest. Verse 29. And Pilate went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? And they answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. What kind of an answer is that? You're going before a judge. Pilate's the judge. And they say, this man is guilty. Can you imagine that? You've been to court. Perry Mason, way back. Or Law and Order, that kind. You've seen that. Well, you never saw, I guarantee you never did see, a prosecuting attorney going up and saying, Your Honor, this man's guilty. And the judge said, oh yeah, I know he's guilty. Okay, kill him. Doesn't make any sense. And that's what they were doing. This man is guilty. Just you judge him. Well, where's the defense? There has to be a defense. So anyway, if he were not an evildoer, then we wouldn't bring him over here. And Pilate was right. You have to give me something to go on. Tell me exactly what the charge is. And they thought he was going to rubber stamp. Oh yeah, it's okay. And then they expected him to crucify him. Well, that was the sarcasm to them. And then there was the scheme they had, verse 31-32. Then Pilate said to them, you take him, you judge him, according to your law. He threw it right back at him. The ball's now in your court. You want to be the judge? You want to be the jury? Well, you can be the executioner too. Go ahead and kill him. Now it's back. What are we going to do? See, they were too clever for that. The people wouldn't allow that from the Jews. If these leaders, Jewish leaders, decided to kill him, remember just a few days ago, I'm talking about in their day, a few days before this, Jesus came, remember, and there everybody's palm leaves and on Palm Sunday. The Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Make him king. That's what they were after. The whole company there, everybody there for the feast saw that. And so they said, well, that's not going to work. If we try to kill him, they're going to rise up against us. But if the Romans do it, the Romans will put down all the problems, and so won't be any problem there. So they said to him, it's not lawful for us to kill him, put him to death. And all this is that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, when he spoke, signified by the death which he would die. Now, when did he do that? Well, back in Matthew 20, in verse 19, he says, Jesus speaking about himself, said, they shall deliver him, myself, to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify. Also in John 3, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. So they said this, that the Gentiles had to be the one who killed him, because they would do it lifting him up on the cross. So the accusation is laid out. And then comes the examination by Pilate now. Verses 33 to 40. See, Pilate asked 6 questions. Remember, he's they're inside. Here's Pilate and Jesus in here. And all those spiritual Jews are outside because they can't go in there. Well, Pilate is inside with him in the praetorium again. And he called Jesus and said to him, are you king of the Jews? That's his first significant question. Are you king of the Jews? If Jesus were a king, then that would be a Roman concern. That was very important. So Jesus answered him. You expect a yes or a no from him. No, no. Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you concerning me? You say, well, that's a strange response. Well, Pilate probably was thinking about this helpless man. Look at him. Here's Jesus. No visible means of support. He was in the custody of another kingdom. What kind of a king is that? Are you really a king? I think he was really asking that because it didn't fit with him. And yet, he must have heard about this response, the triumphal entry. That certainly got his attention. He's responsible to know what's going on in Jerusalem, so I'm sure he heard that. And these people wanted to crown him as king. On the other hand, if someone did put him up to that, then they should be there accusing him themselves. That's what Jesus means. Saying, is this your question, or is it a question somebody else brought up? If it's somebody else, I have the right to meet them. See, Roman law required that the accused and the accuser should be brought together, and that the accused could ask the accusers things. They could face to face. He had a right to answer. Our law is built on that. You have a right to face your accusers. And so they had a. That's a significant question. Are you speaking for yourself? And in answer to his question. Now, then there's a scornful question. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me." Now, his answer was, "Hey, I don't know anything about this stuff. Your own people brought you up here. What have you done?" Third question. And Jesus said, had not done anything. He hadn't done anything wrong. He taught that he was king, and he was. So Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here." Now, the if clause there is, if. When you say if, you say a lot of things in Greek. Well, this one is says, it's not true. It's assumed to be false. If I were king and I am not, then my servants would fight, but they don't. See, Peter tried that, remember, when they came to him. Judas came with him, with some soldiers. And Peter chopped off the ear. Jesus put it back on, says, "No, not going to fight." Well, he wouldn't let him fight because his kingdom is not out of this world. That's where the world solves things. I don't do it that way. So the source of his kingdom is out of heaven, not out of the earth. So then there's another question. The fourth question is the straight question, verse 37. Pilate said to him, "Are you a king?" Can't get much more direct than that. "Are you a king?" What's Jesus going to say? He answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So, Jesus, in a few words, asserts his divine origin and his divine ministry. He came to testify the truth. My origin is I was born into the world. Ministry is to testify of the truth. See, at his birth, Luke records this in chapter 1 and verse 32 and 33. He's speaking of Jesus, the baby. He says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Wow. That's the way it is. I was born to be a king, and I will be a king. So, that's a straight question, but it's also a straight answer. Yes, I am. And then there's a speculative one. You know what speculation? Oh, we're speculating about things. We don't know what we're talking about. Well, Pilate asked him a speculative question. What is truth? Anybody ever ask you that? What is truth? How do I know? You have an answer for that? Of course. What is truth? Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. And I go back to that. The word of God is truth. Now, that's not all the truth there is. There are other truths out there. But when I want to know something is really true, I go to the word. That word is true. I got an article just last week. Is the Bible true in every little part? Yes. That's the answer. Of course it is. So he said, what is truth? Now, question. Was Pilate serious? Or was he skeptical? You know, some people say, "Oh, what is truth? What do I know? I don't know." Well, I think maybe yes. he was serious and skeptical. Probably a little bit of both. But it seems he didn't expect an answer, according to the text. As soon as he said it, he went out because he didn't think Jesus had an answer. At the end of the words, what is truth? I'd rather see an exclamation point, not a question mark. What is truth? Here's the way I see it. Now, I'm no actor, but Pilate's standing there and saying, Jesus said, I'm giving the truth. He said, oh, what is truth? And he walked out of there. I think that's the way it was. He wasn't saying, what is truth? Tell me what truth is. Not that. I don't care what truth is. You don't know what truth is. I'm getting out of here. So he walked out. No. So he directed the question of what is truth to the one who is the truth. If he'd stayed there, he could have learned. And once you admit that you can know the truth through Jesus Christ, then you'll also know the way and the life. You have to understand that he is the truth. The only way he's the only way, the only truth, the only life. But too late, Pilate, you walked out. You didn't hear it. And then there was a scandalous question. Significant, scornful, solemn, straight, scandalous question. He went out, and when he had heard this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him. Wow. It's even more pointed than that. He pronounced him not guilty. As far as Rome is concerned, he is not guilty. In fact, it says, I find not one thing wrong with him. not one fault. Uda mia. So what should he do? He's the judge. I don't find any fault with him. Well, what's your next move, Pilate? Let him go. He's a judge. Let him go. But he was gutless. He figured if he let him go, then you got a problem on your hands. It's a problem during the Passover, and here comes Rome, said, get out of here, Pilate. Maybe chopped his head off or whatever to get him out of there. So he knows that, and he didn't want rebellion. He didn't want to lose his job. So he offers a way out for Jesus, for these people. He walks outside, and he says, I find no fault in him. But I tell you what, even though you don't have any fault, you can't, don't have any way to kill him, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll scourge him. Yeah, I'll give him well, we'll see in a minute. I'm getting into that. But but you have a custom that I can release someone to you at the Passover. I can do that. And I think the implication is that he's going to scourge him. They'll see a lot of blood, and they'll say, oh, okay, he's done. Then he'll say, now I'm going to forgive him. Did you ever see presidents do that? One president named Bill Clinton, who shall be nameless, he forgave a whole bunch of people. After he became president, as he was going out, he forgave them. And this is what he was going to do. Once a year, we'll forgive somebody. But see, then if he scourges them and all that, they'll say, he's guilty. Okay, he's guilty. Well, kill him. No, I forgive him. So you get both parts of the everything's satisfied. Pilate doesn't have to answer to Rome, and these people have found him guilty. Anyway, that's where we are. Do you therefore, he says, do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And then they all cried, literally they shouted, saying, not this man but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. He was actually a bandit. He was a murderer. from some of the other Gospels. Then, so Barabbas was a criminal. You know what his name means? Son of the Father. Son of the Father. He was of his father, the devil. And in the time of the tribulation, there's going to be one like that too, you know. He's called Antichrist in Revelation. And he's going to be a son of the same father. The devil's going to be empowering him. And the world's going to go after him. After that one. Give us Barabbas. Give us a son of the Father. The son of the Father is the devil himself. And they're going to prefer him to the true Messiah. So the Romans scourged Jesus. Verse 1 of 9, chapter 19. So the Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the Roman scourging was a leather whip with bits of glass or metal in the end, not glass, metal or bone. And every time they pull it, and it ripped skin out. That's what they were doing. They scourged him. So Pilate's action then, according to Luke 23:16, was another attempt at compromise. I'll do this. They'll see the blood. They'll be happy. Didn't work. And then verses 2 and 3, there was the scoffing. How Jesus was clothed. The soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Why thorns? Except, of course, it hurt. Brought blood. But someone suggested this, that the day Adam and Eve, Adam died, sinned in the garden, Jesus said, God said to him, the ground is cursed for your sake. It's going to bring thorns and thistles. That's the picture of the sin that they had done. The crown of thorns pictures the curse. Cursed is the land. So here we are, Jesus having a crown on his head. He's going to die for the sins of the world. He's going to die for that curse, the curse of sin. And then they put him in a purple robe, John says. Matthew calls it scarlet. And I read in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." See, he bore our sins. Though your sins are as scarlet, a scarlet robe, the curse on his head, the sins all over him. They didn't know what they were doing, but God did. God's in control of all this. So he bore the curse. He bore our sins. See, he taught in pictures. Remember, he always had pictures. There was a man, so forth. He taught in pictures. He also died in pictures. That's how Jesus was clothed. What was he called? And then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. If someone calls you a name, what's the worst thing you can do to them? Just stand there. That kills them. And so that's what Jesus was doing. He wouldn't say, "You terrible guy!" No. And so they got tired of calling him King of the Jews. It didn't bother him. Well, maybe this will bother him. So they began to pound him in the face. Wow. What a time. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet. He's going to suffer all kinds of things. But now he has gone through a section of trial. Called not guilty, and yet he's there. So, first, I want to say this. One, who was this one? Who's this one so brutally and unrighteously treated? It was God. This one who was going to suffer for sin was God. Only God could do this. Only God could suffer for this sin. He had to be God, because no one else could take man's place. No one else could suffer for man's sin. The second is, this was Satan's hour. Now, when they came to take him, remember, they came to take him to Mount of Olives? And when Peter cut the ear off, I mentioned that. Jesus said, don't do that. This is their hour. This is Satan's hour. Satan is doing all he can to keep him from going to that cross. So they came there and they said, this is Satan's hour. It's their hour. Jesus has an hour. An hour is coming. And third, Christ was on the point of making the atonement for sin. Therefore, the sin must be shown in all of its enormity. He was going to die for sin. Where's the picture of that? Just how wicked they had on this one man. This man who had done no harm, not guilty, and yet he's given all of that. And so it shows that sin is an enormous thing. And fourth, Christ was to die in the place of sinners. Therefore, it must be shown that he was what was righteously done to him. He's dying for sinners. He's dying for their sin, to pay for their sin. It had to be awful stuff. That's what it was. The songwriter said this, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on that cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Lord, thank you for this glimpse. We recoil back from it. Oh no, not that. And yet, that's what we deserved. And he has taken our place. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer. Lord, we pray that we will not forget this. And we'll go on. And he died not just for our sin. He died for the sin of the world. They don't know it. Many of them do not know it. Help us to be able to explain it and to bring them to this same cross where we found our salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.